Hey everybody, my favourite sound is this. Gerald, what's yours?
Ta-ding! That was meant to be the Mario collecting the coin sound, but it just didn't work.
Sheree.
Boop, 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 boop.
Well, forget those, because we don't like sounds here. We don't like noise at all. It's the Noise Cancelling Podcast with Tech Radar and Laptop Mag. Hi everybody. Introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Sheree L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Gerald Lynch, executive editor for Tech Radar.
And I am Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. It's actually, that's an announcement, really, isn't it, Gerald, from you there?
It is an announcement, yeah. As of this week, I am executive editor. I'm still doing all of the home technology stuff that I used to do, but I'm going to be taking more of a hands-on creative role in the output that we put out, which is what output is.
Yeah. That's an exclusive for the Noise Cancelling Podcast listeners. And obviously, if you need to know a little bit more and you're not already a big fan, which I hope you are, this is obviously the tech podcast where we just talk about tech. But do we know anything about it? Hopefully, but not really. So let's get straight into the news, shall we? I'd say the big one we talked about last week, we preluded it a little bit, was the Xbox gaming launch. Gerald, your top word for this, what would it be?
Damp.
Oh. Is that like a hot damp or like, oh, damn?
No, that's like a really cold, I've just come in from the rain damp. Like, my socks are a bit soggy. You know, I was expecting to have some sort of Fred Astaire singing in the rain moment. But no, it's just a bit miserable, really.
And why is that?
Well, it's the first time we've seen any actual gameplay footage from the new Xbox Series X console. It's been billed as being this big, you know, big reveal. We're going to have our first proper look at what's going to be like the future of our gaming lives. And just everything that was revealed was a little bit meh, really, not particularly exciting.
So was it actually gameplay or was it footage that was powered by the engine or something? I was really confused. What was it going to
see? Yeah, well, I think part of it is that that's part of the confusion, part of the disappointment. It was technically gameplay reveals, but at the very best, the gameplay reveals were like in-engine footage cut together, like trailer-wise. There was no one really standing there with a controller in their hand saying, here's how you're going to run around in, say, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, or here's how it's going to be like to have a match in Madden 21. And at worst, some of it was like, at least it appeared to me, just like cinematic footage. So we still don't really have a great feel for what those games are going to play like and what's going to be these kind of monumental generational shift experiences that we're expecting to have from a brand new console.
So do we know any, have you got any more idea about who's ahead and who's not? Sony versus Microsoft? Sheree shaking her head right now.
We haven't even seen anything from PlayStation outside of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So there, yeah. We can't determine a winner. I definitely agree with Gerald.
No, it's not a winner. It's who's ahead. It's got to be Microsoft. They've shown some stuff at least, even if it is just cinematic.
Yeah. At this stage, Microsoft have some games, I suppose. Whether you want to play them is another matter.
Being burnt by Microsoft so badly last generation, I am wary of them with their game releases this generation. Like, I'm excited that they purchased all of these publishing houses and all, yeah. But it's about production and actually getting them to players. So until they can do that, I still say this is a tie score. Like, I saw trailers, but I've seen trailers before, and I've never played those games because they never came out.
Were there any trailers, Sheree, that you thought, actually, you know what, maybe I could get behind this?
Definitely Assassin's Creed. I am intrigued by Medium. Excited by Vampire the Masquerade 2. So, they have interesting titles. I just need them to come out.
Yeah.
You're just saying words to me right now. Like, these are just things that people can do on a machine that hasn't emerged yet. Like, Medium to me is either that TV show or that thing you can read when people want to blog and look fancy with it. It's one of those two.
Not something that's in the middle of something else, like a Medium on a hot sauce scale.
Yeah, the peri-peri scale. Although Medium's often hotter than that. It's always like, you know, like in the Nando's in the UK, like Medium isn't always Medium.
Above average.
Yeah, exactly.
Above average,
right?
Hotness.
That's not Medium. Well, I feel like I think the PS5 needs to do more, because that's the one that people are keep going, well, what's happening to this? What's happening to that? What's happening to that? So fingers crossed we'll see some more from that.
I think part of what's been perhaps going to be like a stealth success for PlayStation is they've actually held their hand back, right? Like, Microsoft has committed to this like drip feed of information on a pretty regular basis for what, the last, was it 18 months or so now? Whereas Sony have had one or two big drops and that's it, right? So you've got this kind of feeling now that like there's no rush of momentum picking up behind Xbox anymore because these little reveals, you know, they're kind of, there's a little bit of a spark to the kindling when people are like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? But there's no flame because there's no kind of big sort of rush of excitement that comes with like, and bam, here's a new Fable game as well. And bam, here's a new Gears of War game to like kind of embed it in people's minds. I think there is that kind of like shock and awe tactic that you can deploy when you just like bombard people with information about your games in one big kind of, and here's everything you're going to have. And I think that sticks with you potentially in a more profound way than a campaign that is a slow reveal of everything.
Well, let's move from something that's not quite here yet to something that's just not real, apparently. The AirPod Studio, these new over-ear headphones that we keep hearing ruined by Apple, the idea that they would use the AirPod's name to take on Beats, which they're in already, seems to be gathering a lot of momentum. Cherie, you like headphones. I know you have ears.
I do love headphones. They're like shoes. You can't have just one pair. So these were previously known as the AirPods X, so now they are the Studio. No pricing, no availability yet, no real confirmation that they actually exist, but some exciting features have been leaking out. So like most headphones nowadays, well, premium headphones, they'll have in-ear sensors that will sense whether they're on your ears or on your neck. But it'll also be able to sense if you're wearing them backwards and you'll still be able to use them. So huzzah, huzzah. These will definitely, if they do come out, if they do exist, be active noise canceling. So they're definitely going after Bose, which is a pretty tall order because Bose has been arguably the best headphone for active noise canceling for years. It's going to be hard to knock them off that throne. Even more interesting, Apple is going to let you tweak the sound via a built-in EQ in the menu setting, which is a big boon. I'm hoping that it will be a robust system because, like, sometimes you want to tailor your sound. Like, bass junkies, they want to make sure that they have those big lows. And people that are listening to classical, they want to make sure that the sound is as flat as possible. So there's a lot of opportunity with a really good equalizer. So I'm hoping that they don't skimp out on that.
Isn't that something that's like, that's crazy? Like, equalizers been around for so long, and the fact that we're suddenly lauding somebody for bringing one in now, that's what, like, how can that be a good thing?
Do you remember how psyched and hype everyone got when Apple supposedly made the pencil?
Yeah, I mean, most people didn't get that excited, like, in terms of like the people in the room were like, it's called the what?
Like, I think everyone goes by the saying that it's not made until Apple does it. So apparently EQs have not existed until Apple has done it, and people will get excited. I for one will say ho hum. I'm just hoping that it's a robust EQ and not just a hip hop.
Surely it'd be miles better if it actually was good and reactive and could work out what was happening.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I'm hoping for that. Like, I never want a piece of tech to fail. So I'm hoping that they just take it one step further than what we've seen instead of just saying, look, we have this, and everyone just getting excited because Apple did it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the biggest thing about, you know, like the AirPods, you know, some of the best-selling true wireless headphones in the world. They're not the best ones in the world, but they are, they're decent, but they work really well with iPhones, and people love that. That's what it works.
So, I mean, I don't know what this means for Bose. I don't know if Apple is trying to just subsume Beats into AirPods. And just, I have no idea. But I hope if the studios do come to fruition, which they most likely will, they will actually give us some color outside of white.
And also, the crazy thing is, like, they're not AirPods. The whole AirPods thing is they're little pods. That's the point. Like, AirPods were AirPods, AirPods, AirPods. These are just over-ear headphones.
No, I disagree. I've mentioned this before to you, Gareth. Think of them as little pods that your ears live in, you know? It totally works.
So what are AirPods then? Are they little pods that live inside your ears?
They're like pea pods, aren't they? Peas in a pod. And they go in. They're the bits in the pod. And in this case, the pod is over the ear. It makes perfect sense.
It makes literally no sense when they're completely different.
One of the things I am concerned about with them is that reversible nature of them, according to this pattern, right? That you'll be able to put them backwards on or forwards on, depending on how you want to describe it, so that left and right channels are automatically like recognized. I worry about the ergonomics of that, because for the most part, if you put on any other headset that you have right now, likely that you have right now, you've got an overhead, over the top of your head headband, right? And that helps to distribute the weight usually towards like the back of your head, which is like a more comfortable way of doing that. Now, if you've got a headband that can work either way, surely, I mean, the guys on the video chat as we're making this podcast will be able to see what I'm doing here. But if I pulled a headband of my headset as if it was flipped the other way, it's going to sit like this, right? Like a hairband as opposed to a headband.
No, flip your headphones around and put them in the place that they are now.
Right, okay.
This is a real audio feature, I know.
Right. So they're sitting now further on in my head. So yep. Lots of headphones kind of distribute the weight a little bit further back. And I think you're going to have something quite interesting if you've got this. It's going to have to be perfectly, I'd imagine it's going to be perfectly symmetrical in that sense. Not symmetrical, sorry, like almost like a straight curve, elliptical. Yeah, right. And I'll be intrigued to see if you've got some reasonably decent drivers in there. They're going to be not heavy, but there's going to be some weight to them. And like, I think that could be not necessarily it's a problem that, you know, can't be solved, but I think that the fit and the comfort of putting that feature on could be kind of interesting, actually.
I just have to apologize to our producer, Karen, there for having to deal with Gerald's audio when it's going to be like, bah, 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 bah.
Just mute me.
I mean, literally, we bill this as a noise-cancelling podcast, and we've just given her some absolutely horrendous noise to deal with. So that's nice of us. Very quickly, before we leave news, I do want to talk about what some people have called the mother of all iPhone leaks this week. I think it's probably a bit far, but equally, there was a lot of information coming about the new iPhones, and I personally think fairly reasonably, actually. It sounds like, you know, that we're going to get these iPhones that have got LiDAR in the back, which we've heard about a lot before, which is, you know, much better depth sensing. And how that's going to be used will be things like being able to tell more reasonably how far away something is and therefore how far away people are. And the portrait mode will look better. That seems to be pretty likely. Obviously, more power coming into these phones. And the contentious part of it is like the 120 hertz refresh rate, which doesn't sound like much, but a lot of top end phones have got this. It's got smoother scrolling. So it means under the finger, things just feel a bit better. Various people have said this is definitely happening. Some people have said it can't do because of the backplane technology, which is super exciting and super sexy. But all the leaks do hint that the iPhone 12 range, which will probably be the iPhone 12, the iPhone 12 Max, the iPhone 12 Pro and the iPhone 12 Pro Max, will exist this year and will be a little bit more of a jump forward than we have seen in recent years, which to me is, you know, people want to know about the new iPhone probably more than, well, as much as other top tech. So that's the fact things might change is a good thing there, right? Silence. Stunned silence. Brilliant. I feel like on that point, we should take a break. We will come back and we're going into our review labs after this. Welcome back to Noise Cancelling, the podcast that cancels noise, but sometimes makes a lot of noise with headphones. Thanks, Gerald. Where are we going now, Cherie? Where are we going into?
We're going into the labs. Time to do reviews. Laptops, tablets, headphones, and anything else techie. Time for reviews.
Gerald, sing it.
And shoes. Just that's my side podcast that I'm going to be building on to the end of this. So
I'm just so excited someone sang. Like, it's so rare. Thanks, Gerald. That made me happy. Right, so what have we got in the labs? It's a 1-2 punch, I'd call it this week. It's a laptop 1-2 punch with some audio held in as well. Cherie, MacBook Pro, good, bad, ugly?
The good improved on a few things that MacBook users have been wanting for a while. So the butterfly keyboard is officially dead. Dunzo, never to be seen again. It is deceased. And so in favor of the Magic Keyboard, so the MacBook Pro 13 now has Magic Keyboard. It's awesome. So much more comfortable to type on. Something else that's happened is that Apple is basically just stiffing people on processor power. So for entry level, you're paying $12.99 and you're getting an 8th gen processor, which is well and good. Those are theoretically still being sold, but everyone else is on Intel 10th gen. So there's a difference of two processor generations there. So I personally would not want to be paying $1,200 for something that is not as future-proof as 10th gen. That's just me. I don't know what your wallet or your heart is doing. Another thing that Apple is doing is that they are doubling up the RAM and doubling up the storage, finally. So you actually do get some value play out of this. As a laptop as a whole, it's a great laptop. It's not this technological leap and bound that people were expecting. It's not 14 inches. It still has those chunky bezels that no one likes anymore. So you've still got the 13.13-inch Retina display, which isn't bad. It's still a beautiful display. It's just a solid refresh. No more, no less.
Sherry, I have a mid-2012 first-gen Retina MacBook, which is it's my baby. Got 8 years out of little Mackie here. But he's starting to feel a little bit like, you know, the sun setting, right? I've been holding off from getting a new machine, one, because of money, you know, like everyone, but two, in a more sort of technical sense, because I love, like, that era MacBook keyboard. Are we close to getting that kind of response now?
I would say so. Like, it is not the butterfly keyboard with whatever chicanery or occult this that they whatever Faustian deal they made with the devil to get that horrible keyboard, it has been exercised. People have burned sage over the keys, and it's a much more comfortable experience than it was a couple of years ago. And also 2012. So isn't your laptop considered vintage?
It is considered vintage now. I can't get arcade on it, for instance.
2014 was vintage, wasn't it?
I like my laptops like I like my wine. Old.
Old and in a bottle.
Old and in a bottle, yeah.
I feel like you've had tech support done, yeah, Gerald? All fixed?
One more I would ask. Is there any purpose to the touch bar now? Because it looks cool, but like no one's using it, right?
No one's using it. Maybe creative professionals are using it. I haven't used it. You know what? When I typically use it is when I'm recording. So right now, or if I'm in a Zoom meeting, there's a big red button there that says leave meeting. I'm like, yes please. But other than that, no.
The mouse, you can use a mouse for the same thing though, Sheree. Just like,
I know, but like it's a shiny red button and I want to push it. Like
I saw someone made a mod that lets you have a Tamagotchi in it. Like I'd have that. That's good, running around all day. So, hi little guy.
Didn't someone make it so you could play Doom in it once?
Yeah
That's pretty good.
I kind of want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, someone managed to put Doom on an actual CPU the other day, so they actually, you know, don't even need a machine. It's just the CPU itself has Doom on it, which is pretty crazy.
So old school Doom, like three-dimensional.
Yeah. I assume so. I assume it wasn't the latest one. Doom Eternal, that's a tiny thing. It'd be quite impressive. But yeah, so I feel like, you know, has Apple moved forward with this, do you think? You know, it's not the leaps that anything is everyone was expecting, but you said it's sporting fancy new texture. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the technological leaps and bounds that you wanted, but it's the practical updates that you needed.
The classic Apple move, the talk to the tick. Talking of which, you know, I try and do segues and my brain goes, talking of which, and then just assumes the rest of me will just work out what to do. But nothing. In my mind, I was going to talk about these new Neuralink headphones that I've had on review and compared to the AirPods Pro, but the way to sort of mush together Apple MacBooks with AirPods Pro just wasn't going to happen. So this is my very tortured segue.
Earphones? I'm jealous.
Why don't you segue it with wine? What wine would you compare Neuralink to?
great question. As a man who has only just decided that he can afford the third least expensive wine, I would say crisp Chardonnay. I don't know. I don't know anything about wine at all, other than like I still don't really like it, and I'm 36. I assumed I would. It still tastes like when I'm 14 at the dinner table, and so I was like, try some wine. I'm like, this tastes like vinegar.
Neuralink tastes like vinegar.
No. Well, yeah, but then so does every other piece of tech as well.
Yeah, you shouldn't be eating your tech.
Yeah, don't eat your tech.
Don't drink your headphones.
I wish we could give new titles to these. Don't Drink Your Headphones should be the top one for this, but people won't know what's going to be involved. Anyway, so I saw these at CES 2020, CES being Cherie's favourite place in the entire world, and I was in one of those lovely hotel suites and they showed them off to me. So the Neuraloops, if anyone doesn't know, the Neurophones were the over-ear headphones that had earbuds inside the cups. I mean, let's talk about that, Gerald. How's that? Is that a pod in a pod?
A pod in a pod. No, that would be the P in the pod, you see.
Okay. Yeah. So basically you're saying that the Apple AirPods Studio should have a function where you can put the AirPods Pro underneath.
Yeah, the Apple P pods.
Yeah, the Apple P pods. So anyway, the Neurophones had an earbud inside the cup. So therefore what that did was create a really good seal, and it would scan your entire ear and your hearing canals and all this kind of stuff and be able to work out precisely what kind of sound you need. When I was talking to them at CES, they've obviously bought the Neuraloops, which are earbud versions of the same things. They're much cheaper, $199, £199. And the idea, he said, was it's like being at the bottom of a mountain and trying to spot a pebble. That's how the level of granularity we can tell by firing the sound in and the response back, what we can actually tell how good your hearing is. And I've got to admit, it's not far off. You know, obviously you can, you know, you create these profiles, you listen to a series of bleeps and loops and the fit is everything and tested. And it's really cool for that respect. And then you get this weird profile at the end that's sort of like a big sort of disc on the screen with different things pointing out to show where your sound capabilities are. I've got no idea what it means. It just looks slightly fancy. And then you can switch between off and on. And, you know, I've tried so many headphones where it's been like that. And you think, well, how bad did they make the off just so the on sounds really good? I mean, the on does sound really good, but I tried it with my girlfriend's, let's say girlfriend's head, like just borrow your head, love, gave her a profile as well. And it was really cool to see, like she did the same thing. And then if I listen to stuff on her profile, it sounds kind of tinny and kind of like tinkly at the top. And she's saying like mine sounds really off as well. So it's, they do genuinely make a difference, and listening to music on them is a real experience. So this idea of being able to supercharge your testing your hearing without actually having to do anything on your part, like say, can you hear this? Yes, no. Can you hear this? Yes, no. It's pretty cool. And I'd say for $200, it's expensive. And £200, of course, for the English listeners. It's expensive, but it's not the most expensive. Cheaper than AirPods. Not too bad. Cherie, you sounded excited about having the Neuras. Have you been itching to test as well?
I've been a fan. I've gotten to try them in demos, but I've never gotten to do a full-on review. So I am a little jelly about that. Like, I'm also curious to try out the hearing test aspect of it, because there are a few over-ear headphones that have done the same. Beyer Dynamics has a pair. I mean, Apple kind of does it with the AirPods Pro and its fit test. So it's not new, but it's always interesting to see how far people are taking it in the pursuit of really great audio quality.
When Neura are saying they've taken it further than anybody, it's sort of based on tech that was worked out in 1979, the fact that you could get this kind of response, but it's been really hard to make the tech work in terms of it and fit it down to something small enough. What is cool about these as well is the charging cable. I'm going to show you this on the camera, but you can't see this on the podcast. It's got this little like magnetic cup. It's really nice when the charge goes on because it clips in magnetically. I love a magnetic charger. But also it's got a 3.5mm cable, so it clips on magnetically, and then you can plug it into a MacBook or to like proper audio equipment if you're a studio player, musician. And you can do it that way, and it's a really nice addition, just rather than having to have a dongle all the time so you can use things with your phone. Well, I suppose you still have to if you had an iPhone, but in theory, you know, if you had like a MacBook where you've got a headphone jack and you don't have to fanny about with the 3.5mm and Bluetooth and all that kind of stuff, it's quite nice. So I give them a big tick so far, but I'm going to ask other people to test as well just to make sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like I've stunned you both into silence, or I've bored you. Either way, the listeners will tell us, or if they're still listening, that is. They're not listeners, they're not listening, they're just people. Cherie, tell us about the Dell XPS 15.
I have spent, I guess this is week two in embargo land. I still have more embargoes to break for next week, so stay tuned for that. But we just published our exclusive of the Dell XPS 15. It's even better than it was last year, and I thought last year they couldn't top the year before that, but I keep being proven wrong, and I don't mind being wrong about something like this. The one that I reviewed is $23.99, so a bit pricey, but it's stacked. It is stacked with stuff. Core i7 10th gen Comet Lake H-series processor, so it's bringing the power. It's got a NVIDIA discrete graphics chip, so plenty of gaming performance. Like, you could use it as a low-key gaming laptop in a pinch if you absolutely positively need to play some Disco Elysium, some Doom, or something like that. You can more than likely pull it off with this. Wouldn't recommend it. Like, it's more along the lines of like video editing, photo editing, sound mixing, things of that nature. But if you wanted to, I'm not going to stop you. I did a little bit of BioShock on it. It ran very smoothly, so I'm pretty impressed with that. It's also got one of the highest resolution displays currently available on the market. So that would be 3840 by 2400 because it has that wild 16:10 aspect ratio, which basically means more screen for your buck. And it's a 4K display, so it is absolutely stunning. And I just have nothing but good things to say about this laptop. Like, I am in the market for a laptop, so I am really, really considering this. I mean, that is until I get my hands on the Dell XPS 17, because now the 17 has come back after almost a decade. But stay tuned for that. That will be down the line sooner than later.
Got two questions, Cherie. Number one, why would you buy a laptop when you have to keep reviewing other ones? Because I feel like that's like getting a kid and then just constantly playing with other children in front of it. That just seems really hard.
I mean, but you need your main girl.
Your favorite kid.
Yeah, you need your favorite kid.
Behind every good tech journalist are there just go-to pieces of tech. And I think I'm willing to add that to my collection. The display is beautiful. Like I said, Dell keeps finding a way to shrink their laptops. So the 15 is 5.5% smaller than its predecessor. I don't know how they keep doing it. I know that they finally made a totally bezel-less thing with the display, which is impressive in itself. They just keep doing these little tweaks that add up to these big monumental changes. And this is the third year running that they've done this. So I am incredibly impressed with Dell.
So when you said people use it in a pinch as a gaming laptop, I'm not going to stop them. If you wanted to stop them, how would you do that?
Say no sternly?
I mean, what, to every single person that buys one, just go around like, no. No gaming.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering if you felt like you had some sort of command over the laptop buying public to be like, if I don't think you should do this, guys, it's not happening. Here's how the public service announcement is going to be coming.
No, that's not how freedom works. Like, freedom is freedom and laptops. It goes together. Like, you do whatever you want as long as it's with consenting adults.
I think, everyone, it's time for a break. And we're back. Cherie, this is, I'd say, the most popular part of the show, ironically, because it is...
Unpopular opinions, let the hate unfurl.
Unfurl.
Is something stuck in your craw? What really grinds your gears? Unpopular opinions.
Gerald, sing it.
I don't like it, and I'm not happy. that's my tag. For this section.
That's like William Shatner doing spoken word stuff. So Gerald, I know it's a popular topic for unpopular opinion so far. We've had other people on the show saying the same thing, but you are struggling with something, right? You are. It's in the running order. You wrote it. You told me to write it down.
Yes, I am. I am struggling. I am struggling with many things.
The blank look he just gave me was brilliant. Like, I don't know. No. I'm fine, thanks.
What I've been struggling with, you know, we're in a very unusual time for the world. Lots of people having to make different sort of changes to the way their everyday lives go. And one of those changes to everyday lives is adopting technology as your primary means of communication for people who perhaps aren't used to using technology as their primary means of communication. What that does to the likes of me and Sherry and you, Big Papa G, is is we're now these sort of remote tech support workers. Now, it's one thing like helping your parent or sibling or loved one set up like a new gadget when you're sat next to them on the sofa at Christmas. It's another thing doing it either like down the phone or in the other day I took my government allowance, sorry, of 20 minutes walk to go to my mum for her birthday, where I stood government allowed 2 meters away from her to give her the not government allowed birthday present, which was an iPad, right? So that I could have like video chats with my mum and stuff. It was an old iPad that, like, you know, I've been able to repurpose for her now that I've got a new one. And it was like the perfect time to like you know, because I mean, I ain't made of money. Mum, I love mum, but like, she ain't getting like a new iPad every day. Like, that just is not going to happen.
You're not Matt Swider.
I'm not Matt Swider. But I've never had, I think, a more painful 20 minutes, half hour. Let's be real. I was there for a long time. I was there beyond the allotted amount of time to be away from my house. Just trying to say to my mum, like, okay, so now you need to hit that button. And she's like, which button? Like, that one, the one that I can see with my eyes from 2 meters away, that's just below your finger. But which one? The one that says enter. So that one, no, that will close it. Do I put my password? No, that's where your username goes, mum. So which user is this? My Amazon? No, not the one we just wrote down on a bit of paper. Which bit of paper? The bit of paper that's to your left in the book. That's where your password now is, which I told you shouldn't really write them on a bit of paper, but you've now got all of your passwords in this little shoebox of scraps of paper with all of your important details and stuff. And if you were in a house fire or whatever, you would lose. But you'd basically be like Jason Bourne trying to reconnect like the parts of your life that like you've now lost, like if this all goes wrong. But like that thing of like having like proximity to my mum and literally being able to see what she had to press, but not being able to just walk over there and tap it for her was so painful. Now, I don't know if the US had an equivalent of this, but in the UK, there was this TV show called Nightmare. right, it was for kids, right? And the whole point was, it was like, you know, this fantasy sort of like Game of Thrones-y sort of thing for kids back in like the 80s, early 90s. So you'd have like a team of kids with like little notebooks helping solve puzzles for their other this other kid who was their friend, who'd be walking through this sort of like green screen dungeon with his eyes blinded by like this helmet that covered what he could see. So like he might have to walk across like a crazy icy chasm, right? And there'd be like a 100 meter drop into spikes, and the orc chief would be at the other end, and it'd be hard for him to, like, I don't know, I'm getting quite excited thinking about it. You might be able to hear it in the speed of my voice. But basically, like, that kid didn't know what the hell was going on, and the other kids had to be like, Gary, two steps left, Gary. Two steps left. No, Gary, step backwards. Step, Gary, the goblin king's got you, Gary. You know, it was like that, right? Right? It was kind of a bit like that with my mum and the iPad. Without the goblin king, but with me just trying to remotely shout out orders at her, knowing that I can see what she can't see.
Next time, just take a 2 meter long pole with a stylus at the end of it so you can just poke
with
it.
With a little finger. Yeah. I just put like a chipolata on the end of it. The end of a broomstick.
Wasn't it when the iPad came out or something in South Korea or something, the sausages sales went up massively because people were using them as styluses or something, like, because sausages work better as, like, they can conduct it. Anyway, Cherie, your thoughts on Nightmare?
I never heard of the show, but it does sound like a game on a VR, keep talking and no one explodes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes. It's exactly that.
But I will say that my whole purpose at Laptop Magazine, since I've gotten there, is to make sure that I don't have to do that type of painful tech support. Like, my whole goal is to make the writing so accessible that my mom or my dad, I can just be like, look it up!
And they'll be like, no, you tell us.
Like, has it worked? No, but that is the goal that I strive for. Like, I sent my mother a portal a few months back, and she has yet to set it up, even though my little brother is there, and he is just as technically sound as I am, and my nephew. Like, I even have a 4-year-old niece in there with my mom, and between the four of these people, they have not gotten this portal set up. And I'm like, I really don't, like, by the time I get, who knows when I'm going to be able to get down there to troubleshoot this thing. I'm like, why?
Sherry, your confidence in your family members reading is truly, like, inspiring. I wrote a book that I know my mum hasn't read.
I mean, it was called Get Technology.
Exactly. It would have been such a help at this point in time, but, you know.
Right. Well, I feel like we're about to run out of time. That was enlightening, Gerald. Thank you.
No worries.
I could get some stuff edited out. Just going to leave it in for you. I'm not sure what's incriminating or what's not. I feel like we should get the whole Gerald experience.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you very much, Cherie. Thank you very much, Gerald, for joining us this week.
Thank you.
Gerald, for podcast diehard fans, one day when this becomes like 4 million people listen to it a week, they'll go back and they'll find the lost episode that you were on just before this all started, when we piloted it.
That's true. I mean, that's in the pre-pandemic days. I have no memory of those days now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a halcyon time that just didn't exist. Well, thank you for turning up anyway. I appreciate that. And giving us your excellent thoughts on the world.
Turning up these days is literally like, oh, moving from one side of my bed to the other, where it's slightly quieter for the podcast, away from the sound of the flushing toilet.
Well, Cherie's trying to get away from the sound of a beeping fire alarm. Is the fire alarm stopped, Cherie? I haven't heard it.
Fixed it. I didn't fix it. It just stopped. And it was just like, what? So yeah, I'm going to roll with it.
When you say it just stopped, does that mean your fire alarm doesn't work anymore? Because that's not good.
No, because I'm looking at the one in the room, because it's like wired into a bigger system, and that was on. It just stopped. I don't know what happened.
Was there a little fire in your house just burning for ages and you didn't realize? And then it's burnt itself out.
The fire in my soul to review tech, maybe. I don't know. But that's still burning bright, so I'm not sure.
Well, Cherie, tell us how we can find out more about your brightly burning tech chat. Oh, God, that was awful.
Well, first of all, go to Laptop Mag. Only Laptop Mag. That's all that you need in your life. If you want to check me out, I am on Twitter and Instagram as Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith 11. But again, laptop now, laptop today, laptop forever.
I mean, I'm supposed to talk up Tech Radar right now, but I'm so disgusted with myself about like where they can find your tech love burning bright or whatever I said. I just go Tech Radar. It's really good. I mean, honestly, it's really good. Gerald's in there. He does some stuff for it. You might find some enjoyment there. But obviously, we are Tech Radar across the socials. You'll find that as well. Just go and have some fun. Gerald, any thoughts from you? Where can we find your chat?
You can find me on Twitter at GG Midnight, GEEGEE Midnight. That's back from the days when I used to be in a band, so forgive me. And, you know, there's still the shoe podcast to come, ain't there? So watch that space.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. And also, for you listeners, just to remind you as well, we are always on Spotify, on Apple, all where you get your pods. If you do find us, please subscribe. Please rate us 5 stars. Or, like I said, people often on podcasts say 5 stars. Just give us what you want. We hope we're good enough to earn 5. And if we're not, tell us and we'll try harder. We are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Many other great shows on there. Please do check those out. Just leaves me to say thank you very much, guests, for appearing. And we shall speak to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.